6-1, starting mileage 10351, 10,351.
Control 1-5, 6-10-4, 6:08 p.m. Detective Unit 5-6, in service on the night watch.
This is Don Reed, a police recorder. You're riding in a detective unit. Black sedan, radio buried in glove compartment. No identification as a police car. Driving, Sergeant Ron Perkins. We're all dressed in civilian clothes, sports suits, overcoats. This is Detective Unit 5-6. While you're with us tonight, remember the
people... Car 4-9 at 3106 1/2 Ocean View, 3106 1/2 Ocean View. Investigate at 447 in a 214. 5-6, will you roll and assist on this call?
5-6, roger.
447 and a 214. Now, we have a drunk giving somebody a bad time. But as I was saying, while you're with us tonight, remember the people you meet are not actors. You're listening while it happens. Because this is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
Night Watch. The actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound is authentic. Wherever Detective Unit 5-6 is called, you follow as the official police recorder transcribes the investigation. Night Watch is presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We transfer you now to Detective Unit 5-6, operating somewhere in the field, and to police recorder Don Reed.
Overhanging trees on both sides. It's a small house on the back of the lot. It's very old, but well kept. It's a neat little garden. Some flower pots. Coming up to the screen door now.
Chuck, you and Pat go on inside, and I'll cover the back just in case.
Now, here's a young woman. Tiny baby in her arms. With a little boy. Apparently her son. She said she never called the police. This little fella here can do it better than I can.
You have an argument here?
Yeah.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Who? Dad and mother fighting?
No, they were just having an argument.
Dad and mother just having an argument.
Dile que quiere echarme para afuera porque le pedí dinero.
Was Dad hitting mother at all?
No.
No. No.
Dile just said to get out of here. He wanted an asking to give him some money. Asked her to give him some money so we could buy some groceries. And, well, she, he got mad about that. Gave him my gift.
Yeah. Did Dad hit you at all?
No.
How'd you get your right eye like that?
I've been crying.
What have you been crying for?
Because I said that we're going to fight.
Mm-hmm. Dad didn't touch you at all?
No. No.
Where's your dad now?
I am the father. I don't know. He went outside. He ain't around no more.
Your dad been drinking?
Yeah.
Your dad has been drinking.
Yeah. 3 days.
3 days now?
No food from his breakfast.
Did your dad hit you or anybody else in the family?
No.
How many boys in this house?
Five
boys?
Yeah. No, four boys and one girl.
Four boys and one girl, huh? How old is your youngest one?
I think he's around three.
Three? How old is
Jacob?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should be. How old is the little girl?
One.
Hello, honey. How are you?
Down there?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Come on. You come with us. You'll be all right.
Perk?
Yeah.
Her husband must be around here somewhere.
Yeah, I just found him. He's in their little room off the garage there.
His wife wants him taken down to the station. She says she's afraid of it.
Hey, Chuck, he's in the room there. You may have to take him in and book him. I'm going on the air for a few minutes.
Let's go on in. Woodshed. Here we are. Your husband sitting on a couple of boxes, feet propped up against the wall. With an empty whiskey bottle in his hand.
What?
How are you? All right?
Hello.
What was the trouble about? Were you arguing and fighting with your wife?
I don't know, nothing.
No, nothing?
No.
No trouble?
Somebody
called the police and you were fighting with your wife and...
Myself?
Yeah. How much have you had to drink tonight?
Oh, no, much.
What are you drinking, wine?
No.
Beer?
No, not beer.
Whiskey?
Whiskey.
How much? You drink a whole pint, a quart, how much? Half what?
Pint.
Half a pint? Not half a gallon.
Half a pint. What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. Somebody called the police. Said you were beating up your wife.
My wife?
Let's see what else you got in here. How many children you have?
Five.
Four boys and one girl?
Five.
Four boys.
A woman neighbor squeezing her way in here.
No, pues dices que me vaya, pues es lo que quieres. Pues es lo que dice ella, que yo ya la llame para que me vaya con ella.
Está bien, vamos.
Yeah, what was it all about? Why were they arguing and fighting?
Well, ¿por qué estabas peleando con él?
Porque
le pedí dinero.
So we can understand.
Because he said that she asked him for money.
He asked him for money.
Uh-huh.
And then he started to fight about that?
Yes, that's a lot of arguments.
And he had been drinking. Well, do you know what he was drinking? And how much? He hasn't been home since last Thursday. What have you been doing since last Thursday?
My business.
Your business? Well, we're going to make it our business.
Yeah, you
disturbing the peace around here and giving your wife and four children...
Well, I'm...
Okay.
Officers, Connor and Sarlo lifting up the suspect. I'm going to carry him out to the car.
Control 1 on any further information.
5610-4, and I'll be in a few minutes. Don, I've got to run over and check out an address. Why don't you go on in with the uniform car, and I'll meet you there in a few minutes.
Okay. Let's get over to the uniform car. Prisoner is sitting in the back with an officer. We'll ride up front.
I'm sorry.
Why do you get drunk? You have four good baby boys and one girl. Why do you get drunk and give your wife and your children such a difficult time?
I like
it. Well, don't you like your wife and your children?
I like the children. I like it.
Well, why do you drink? You give them such a terrible time when you get drunk.
You buy liquor and they don't have any food.
Food? Who?
You.
It's all right.
You spend all your money on liquor.
My wife and my children, nice.
Yes, your wife and children nice, so why do you drink?
Well, I like to drink.
You like to drink?
Sure.
You drink too much, or?
No, not much.
Girl, you drink too much?
Hey.
Little bit, good, but too much, no good.
I hear you. Roger.
Clearing the runway for booking.
Roger, open.
Eat a banana and a comfy say. You got to make a banana.
Swinging into the station driveway.
You go to. We got a hotel here now.
Yeah. Okay. I'll stay in there. Hold on.
He's been here before. Officers helping the suspect out. He can't navigate. He seems fairly happy to be our guest. Get him up the stairs here. Through the big iron door sign. Up to the booking desk, where the sergeant will take care of his reservation.
We're about to leave your friend there. We've got to hurry up, call.
What's up?
An unknown trouble call. There's a gun mixed up in it somewhere.
Okay. You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. And now it's back to Night Watch
as we return you to Detective Unit 5-6, somewhere in the field, and your official police recorder, Don Reed.
Just a few more blocks and we'll be at the scene of this unknown trouble call. Just where the gun card fits into.
On the unknown trouble call at 1612 View Park West. A shooting has just occurred at that location. Ambulance has been dispatched.
5-6, roger.
Well, that answers the question. A shooting.
Yep.
And it should be right here in the next block. Is that it? Right there.
Yeah.
Hold on. Radio unit already on the scene. Flashing the red lights there in the dark.
Two uniformed officers hustling to the rear. It's a large house, old-fashioned, rambling. On the porch, a young woman lying face up. Claret flowing from wound, white blouse. Young girl in doorway, hands, or face, hysterical. Captain Dubois. Officer Cameron over the victim. Let's move in.
You have a blanket?
Yeah.
Jack, will you get a blanket, please?
I've called a doctor, Archie. Looks like she's been shot right in the left shoulder there, doesn't it? She has a pretty good pulse, a good strong pulse.
That's a good sign.
You notice the perspiration on her forehead and her eyes there, and she's clammy. This wound seems to have taken an upward shot towards the part of the shoulder there. Fortunately, I believe it's gone upward by all appearances, outward appearances. But you never know after it hits a bone. It can deflect anywhere. Towards the heart or the lungs where it can do a lot of damage.
Perkins bringing up more blankets. Ambulance should be rolling in a matter of seconds.
Is this the husband here?
Man standing in door. See if he knows what happened.
From the start, when you came here or when it happened.
See, these children are her adopted children. But I'm their uncle. She's her aunt. And we've been having family troubles for about 4 years. And tonight I said I was leaving. Wasn't an argument. I was mostly listening.
Has she been well?
Well, she's emotionally upset for about 5 or 6 years and threatened many times. And the last time was about 2 weeks ago on a Saturday when I took away another pistol from her and took it down to the police station because I couldn't break it open.
Was there anyone else besides you that saw her shoot herself?
I didn't see her myself. I was standing here talking to my adopted daughter in the kitchen when she did it.
No, just
the girl and I were in the house, and the girl was out in the room, sent him to bed after dinner. So.
Captain Lugo, Cameron, moving off to a screened sun porch.
Imagine that's a shooting on the shoulders. What kind of weapon is this, Cameron? Well, it seems to be an automatic, possibly a .22 automatic, a very small caliber. Guns which, in a case like that, usually. It will cause the bullets will deflect.
Things don't add up too well at the moment. Ambulance attendants wheeling in the stretcher. Rush victim to the hospital. Perkins on porch, assisting. Santa Bob Conlon, skipper of the Detective Bureau, in on the investigation. Taking the niece of the victim aside. Young, pigtails. Face streaked with tears.
Did you see this happen tonight? Were you here at the time that this happened?
I was in the house.
You were in the house? What did you hear happen?
My uncle.
Ambulance taking off. Confusion out here.
Come on.
the youngster a helping hand?
Well, I want to ask you one thing, young lady. Were you in the house when you heard the shot? Did you hear the shot? And was your uncle with you inside the house?
Yes, he was.
And then you went outside with your uncle? And what position did you find your aunt in when you went outside?
Her head was on the pavement, and he made me go get a pillow. And he made me bring out a towel to wipe off the gun, because he said he didn't want anybody to think he did it.
He said that? Did who wiped off the gun?
He did.
How old are you?
15.
What you were saying is the truth now. That he was with you inside the house when the gun went off.
Now, young lady, stop and think about this. When you heard the shot, what did you do?
I ran.
And where did you go?
The front porch.
What did he say?
I said, what happened? He said, she shot herself. And he said, bring me a towel so I can wipe off the fingerprints so nobody will think I did it.
Because that's what he said.
Did you hear her tonight say that she was going to kill herself?
I heard her tell my uncle. When he came in, he told me that she wouldn't do it. And he offered to get her the other gun tonight. He said, you want me to get you the gun? And I answered, sure, go ahead and get it.
Did he offer to get it for her?
Uh-huh.
And did he get the gun for her?
No.
He didn't. And,
In the meantime, she shot herself with the other one.
In the meantime, do you think that do you know whether your aunt shot herself or did your uncle shoot her?
I don't think my uncle would do that.
Right now, the thought in everyone's mind, why were the fingerprints wiped off that gun? Bedroom door open. Sergeant Perkins on the phone.
Now, when I just talked to the hospital, they're going to need extra blood. They're going to need it in a hurry. I'll buy our order at Captain Lugo. Okay, have the LA unit meet me at Washington Adams, and I'll pick it up and run it to the hospital. 12. Thanks a million.
How's it going out there?
All right. There's some doubt about how those prints got wiped off the gun.
I'm going to meet that L.A. unit, pick up the extra blood, and I'll see you at the hospital.
Okay. I'll come down with Lieutenant Conlon.
Right. See
you. Uniformed officers have brought the husband into the front room. Lieutenant Conlon going to re-question him.
Where were you when the shot fired, and where was your daughter?
I was standing in front of that cup of coffee, and she was standing on the stove.
In the kitchen?
In the kitchen.
And what did you say to your daughter?
I know we were talking about her auntie. You know, she was naturally upset.
About an L.A. sort?
Threatened to kill herself.
The hospital was doing something about that. I
didn't know. In fact, I wasn't in the house more than 20 seconds. I just brought
Bob, I think we'll just continue this.
Oh, we'll tell him we'll be right over there now.
Yeah, all right.
Captain Lugo motioning. Woman in critical condition. Got to get to the hospital and take a statement.
Go ahead, Matthew. Don't lock it.
Talk to the husband on the way.
Right now.
Out to the radio car. Lieutenant Conlon will sit in back. And we'll ride up front with Captain Lugo.
Now, let's start at where we left off at the house, where we were... being interrupted now. Now, you stated that you were in the kitchen talking to your daughter. There was a cup of coffee there. And you heard the shot fire.
It's still unreadable, Tony.
And when the shot was fired, what happened then?
I rushed immediately out to the front porch. I saw this pistol laying about 3 feet away. I frankly thought she was trying to...
Now, when the motor strikes, if you acknowledge, open your mic and leave your horn...
It looked to me like a shot pistol. I thought it was a big bluff. So I picked it up, and then at that time, I could see it was beginning to bleed, so I realized I'd done the wrong thing. It was really kind of scared me. But here, I'm implicated in a murder. So I rushed right back in the house. Rush in and get that card we keep there with the police station number. I told her to bring that. I said, also bring a towel and wipe off this gun. So while I was wiping it off, I was calling the police.
Why did you want to wipe off the gun?
I wiped it off.
Well, why did you wipe it off?
I was frankly frightened. Sure, you didn't stop to think that while I was in the house, I was clear, but if I was out there, it'd be my fingerprints. That's why I level with you,
Well, that's what I want you to know. Tell me the truth. That's all I want to know.
The facts too clear. Okay, 1019.
As far as the case is concerned, we have to handle it. If it is a homicide, we've got to handle it as such. And I'm hoping and praying that your wife don't die.
But if
she does, well, it'll have to be handled exactly like we would any other homicide.
I'll try
lay it right on your lap, and you know the police department's position. Now, you know this, that what has been done in the past. You know exactly how your wife's reactions has been. You know whether she's hysterical. You know whether that she had bought this gun, this first gun that she was talking about. Now, this gun in question now, we are trying to determine where that gun came from.
I can't talk to you there. I'm a slight.
You never saw this gun before until after this shot was fired tonight. That is exactly
right. Didn't know it existed.
Do you know the caliber of that gun?
Well, I presume it's a .22 because it sounded like a cap pistol. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
Yes.
Arriving now at the hospital. Buttonholing the captain.
I hear the sirens coming. That's the blood coming now.
Now, where's this blood coming from,
this
captain?
Is coming from over on Vermont Street in Los Angeles from the Red Cross blood bank.
And the LA unit is transporting it here, isn't it?
Yes, and our units have met the LA unit at Washington and Adams so that we can get it over here right away. Naturally, our units know where the hospital is, so that'll expedite things just a little faster. Anything we can do to help along the way to save this lady's life. Father McLaughlin is here and has been called to assist her spiritually. Anytime he can help a soul, why, he seems to be around.
Detective unit rolling in with the extra blood for transfusions. Two orders leading the way. Hustling it into the operating room. Patient in the receiving room on the left. Priest, just coming out. Lieutenant Conlon going in through the door. Wife lying on table. Two nurses standing by. Leaning over victim.
All automatic. Could you hand that to her?
Whispering. We've got to ask that key question.
You and your husband were arguing on the front porch of your house, is that right? Can you say yes or no? Did you shoot yourself or did your husband shoot you? You did? Yes? Thank you.
Well, that clears up the police end of the case. From now on, someone else is in charge.
What you have just heard is real. Recorded as it actually happened on The Night Watch. We switch you now to headquarters in the office of the Chief of Police, W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's first investigation involving the man who was intoxicated in the presence of his family and was applying physical abuse, the arresting officers booked the suspect plain drunk in the interest of the security of his family. Referring now to the final case of the woman who shot herself in an attempt suicide. Sitting across my desk is the husband of the victim, the man who was interrogated by the investigating officers. I'll let him speak for himself.
Chief, I admit in the anxiety of the moment, I did things that possibly could point to circumstantial guilt. As you know, a police investigation not only exposes the guilty, but it protects the innocent, as in my case. Also, I'd like to thank the donors who gave blood to help save my wife's life. An emergency like this shows a necessity for everyone to continue donating to the blood bank.
Thank you. Well, this will close our police file, and although the woman's life was saved, The bullet entered her body, ricocheted, and lodged itself in her spine. Today, the young woman is confined to a wheelchair, and doctors say she will never walk again. She's paralyzed. Night Watch is real, so we may as well face the facts squarely. There will be other people in the future who will contemplate such an act. We have shown you a heartbroken family. We have shown you the police officers risking their lives to get blood to the hospital for someone they have never seen before. If by presenting this picture we may prevent one tragedy in the future, then there is a meaning for Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty on the Night Watch. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch is brought to you with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by the official police recorder, Don Reed. Night Watch is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Hedlock.